This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Grid World. We're about to speak to Don Deutsch, who's the president of the Enterprise Grid Alliance and also the vice president, Standard Strategy and Architecture at Oracle Corporation, and Sean Douglas, who's the chair of the Technical Steering Committee at the Enterprise Grid Alliance and also director of partner engineering at EMC. Welcome both of you to Grid World.
Well, thank you.
Grid computing doesn't get as much attention in the normal headlines as a lot of other things. Why do you think that is, and how much attention do you think it really ought to be entitled to?
Well, Mark, we think that grid computing is a young technology, but one which is reached a point whereby increasingly we're hearing from our customers that it is in fact something which should be more important and maybe should be getting more press.
Although, of course, this allows the early adopters to get some kind of head start or advantage on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But, of course, you'd like everyone to join in.
Indeed, we would.
Okay.
Let me answer that with a little bit more fully.
Sure.
The Enterprise Grid Alliance is basically an alliance of vendors of components as well as users with the objective of rapidly progressing the growth of grid computing in the enterprise. And as such, our objective is primarily to get more press, to address any inhibitors to the growth of this technology so that in fact people can more rapidly adopt it and benefit from it within their enterprise.
Well, that's certainly the purpose of this conversation. Before I get to some of the basic questions, I want to start with some of the background questions, and you'll have to forgive me for going over stuff that you can probably do pretty well in your sleep. But for people who are just coming into Grid, maybe you could clarify for them some of the basic terms and some of the relationships between the basic terms. Why don't you start with grid computing and give it its most recent definition?
Well, let me start with enterprise grid computing because that's what we're about.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, the Enterprise Grid Alliance is focused on computing within the enterprise. The enterprise is defined as commercial as well as not-for-profit, public and private sector organizations.
So this essentially means non-government organizations, private organizations, corporations, and government agencies.
Exactly.
Right.
So both public and private sector organizations. It is specifically oriented towards computing within and between enterprises, and that means we are talking about computing within the data center, computing behind the firewall.
Okay.
And it is focused on using that kind of computing behind the firewall within the enterprise for commercial applications such as ERP and CRM and general ledger. That is basically transaction-driven applications that are the guts and the core of the enterprise, as well as technical applications. That would be things such as portfolio analysis, which are more traditionally run in off hours or something, but which are important to enterprises.
What about design application? If you're designing a car or a cartoon or something and you need a lot of rendering or calculations that way, does it include that?
I would yield to Sean on this, but it's possible. But that's really not the focus of what I just described.
Okay.
Okay. Let me tell you what enterprise grid computing is not, and by doing that, I may be in a roundabout way addressing your initial question.
Okay.
That is, what we are not about is widely distributed components with multiple owners and being deployed in some way to address a single large problem.
So,
we are not concerned about doing the human genome problem on the CPU cycles on professors' desks spread around the world.
That's scientific grid computing.
That would be what I would term scientific grid computing.
And that's not your department.
Our department is commercial and technical computing within the enterprise, in the data center, behind the firewall.
Okay, let me ask you and Sean something exactly on that line. In the most of the interviews I've done so far for Grid World have been with scientific computing people, and the issue has come up about whether or not the grid metaphor or paradigm is suitable for transactional computing. They see it as very suitable for the kind of things you just said it isn't, that enterprise grid computing isn't. looking for extraterrestrial life, looking for genes, and so on, but that the structure, the idea of grid computing is more suited for that than it is for transactions. Obviously, from what you just said, enterprise grid computing is to provide transactional power for enterprises. What do you say about that really important issue?
Well, I see grid computing, and the reason I sort of hesitated to start with a definition of what's grid computing is, first of all, I think it's an amorphous thing as to what it is.
Right.
And you apparently in previous interviews have had people that had a different perspective. And,
right.
And they just have a hold of a different part of the animal. But my view of it really is that let's define an umbrella and call it grid computing.
Okay.
And we are dealing with a subset of that. Okay, a subset that's very specifically defined in terms of being within the enterprise, behind the firewall, in the data center, with certain classes of applications. That doesn't mean that the problems that they're addressing aren't interesting, important problems, and that the technologies that they're using and defining and trying to evolve aren't important technologies that might actually be applicable within our environment. It just means that we're dealing with a subset of the overall problem. And it may be that the one large problem on distributed PCs is also a subset of the overall problem. We are just focusing on the one that's relevant to our members, and we hope to a lot of the industry at large.
Okay, where does supercomputing figure into this, if it does?
John,
we're focused on applications that are in the data center and. Real world tangible solutions to the enterprise. We really want to focus on enterprise applications that are in the data center. So, supercomputing being, from my perspective, much more interested in number crunching and the type of things that we were talking about specifically around scientific grid computing earlier.
Okay. So what about something as enterprise oriented as load balancing? What's the difference between load balancing and grid computing?
I would say load balancing would be one aspect of a commercial grid, of an enterprise grid.
Okay, so it's
okay, in other words, basically we're talking about deploying hardware and software resources, components in such a way that they can be applied to the demands of the business as the demands of the business change and the resources that get applied get changed, and basically you can therefore more efficiently use your resources, and that all of a sudden the business has a better alignment between its computing requirements and the resources it has to deploy.
Okay, that's enough for now about the technical side of all this. Where did the impetus to create EGA come from, and who were the big movers who moved it to happen?
Well, I assume that you've had access to the materials that were presented at the time that we rolled this out. But we basically had 20 founding companies that came together with the idea of saying this is a technology that is at a very early stage, but it's reached sort of a critical mass whereby we feel that this is a technology that can grow very rapidly. However, there are potential real or just perceived potential inhibitors to its growth, and what we would like to do is get together and address any issues that might cause this not to be the promising technology and the promising market that we and many of our customers across all these businesses seem to be telling us. The board of directors, which of the Enterprise Grid Alliance, are EMC, Fujitsu, Siemens, Hewlett Packard, Intel, NEC, Network Appliance, Oracle, Sun. Okay, so we have a pretty wide range of storage subsystem vendors, of server vendors, of hardware software providers, and basically all came together. We compete in a lot of markets, but we all came together and says we have a common interest in growing this market. Let's get together and see what we can do to do that. Now, to those board members, we have additional high-level sponsor members: AMD, Essential Software, Optina, Perimus, and a number of contributors and associate members, and those are only the ones that signed up before we went public. And subsequently, now that we're public and it's, you can go on a website and find out who we are and what we are, we really are actively seeking and hopeful we're going to get a lot of other companies as well as user organizations that will recognize the promise in this technology and come join us.
Okay, now we're going to link to that URL for your website, but give it out here now anyway.
That would be www.gridalliance.org. Is that right? Please tell me I'm right, Marcy.
We don't want to send people to the wrong place. Oh, Marcy?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. It sounds like from what you've said in your last statement that that's interoperability and standards is one of the main things that's important here. Is that right?
Yeah. Certainly interoperability is pretty much the holy grail that we're aiming for. However, whether or not standards are required is something that that varies based upon the specific area and the specific issue that we're addressing.
Say a little bit about the difference there. Interoperability and standards aren't exactly the same thing.
Well, let me just sort of describe how EGA expects itself to work. Basically, our mode of operation is to identify real or perceived barriers to the adoption, the rapid adoption of this technology. Having identified a barrier, we then will seek a solution to that barrier. Now, that solution may, in many cases, be a standard, because clearly, for interoperability, what you need to do have is agreed upon interfaces. Okay,
right.
And where it is a standard, I'd like to drill down a little bit there.
Sure.
The approach that EGA will take is consistent with our focus, which is on rapid adoption of this technology, and that is, if there is another forum that has a solution, a specification, let's say, that addresses the issue, the missing standard, we will adopt that solution. If there's no solution that's available or being developed in another forum, and we have some requirements that we feel must be met, and we are not as well positioned to address those requirements as another forum, let's say they have more or better competence to address that issue, we will send our requirements to those other forums. Only in the absence of there being an existing or developing specification or an organization better suited to address that specification, will EGA develop its own specifications to address the requirements for a standard.
So not invented here is not going to be a problem for
well,
you.
If it is, we've lost sight of the objective, which right. is to rapidly advance this technology.
So essentially, your job is not essentially to create those standards, but to push for the... push the momentum forward to get the adoption going using what anyone else may have already produced or is producing that can help you reach that goal.
That would be consistent. Yes.
Okay.
Now let me, and I don't want to go away from your original question about other things other than standards, but let me just point out that to reflect the realization of this in the formation of EGA, unlike most consortia, which only realize after they've been around for a while, gee, we got to figure out a way to interact with other organizations. EGA from the outset has had the concept in our bylaws of a liaison relationship for dealing with other organizations such as GGF and DMTF and W3C and OASIS, etc.
Right.
However, I have to tell you, those relationships are just now starting to be discussed, and the reason is because when you're dealing from organization to organization, you have different intellectual property agreements that the participants have agreed to, and so you have to negotiate a memorandum of agreement between the organizations to decide how arm's length are we going to be, how are we going to interact, and we are right now starting those discussions, and we are extremely eager to establish relationships with all of these organizations that might be useful to us in our objective.
Okay, do you want to say anything specific about your relationship with GGF, the Global Grid Forum?
Well, I can say only that we are are eager to work closely with them. We are eager to use the results of their activities. We're eager to provide to them requirements where they're better able to address issues that we've identified. And to just to put a little wood behind it, just point out that if you look at the list of our members, especially our board members, many, if not all of us, are active participants and supporters of GGF, and we will continue to do that. Okay, so GGF, among other organizations, is one of those places we're going to be looking for the kind of technology that we need to solve the enterprise grid, you know, issues that we identify.
Okay, you said that your basic strategy is to identify these obstacles and then deal with them. Could you name a specific one or one of the early obstacles that you've identified, and talk a little bit about how you're going about dealing with it?
Well, let me see if I could run down the list, and then maybe I could turn it over to Sean.
Sure.
And let me just say that what we have is we've identified like five initial areas where we're going to work. Now, those are just the first five that were developed by the founding companies who were involved in the technical steering committee and said these are the five that we think are currently most pressing. They might be the low-hanging fruit. Because they also might be the consensus among the people who are at the table. So as more people come to the table, and as we peel away the onion, we may find others. But for right now, well, the five initial working groups are the reference model, component provisioning, data provisioning, utility accounting, and grid security. And those, I can tell you this, that the board has approved charters for those organizations, have identified initial conveners for the working groups that will be convening within the next few weeks, and we imposed on Sean and his technical steering committee the requirement that when you brought us the charters, make sure they had near-term deliverables, because basically what we're interested in is doing things that will show that EGA can produce things in the short term and address this focus on rapid adoption of the technology. And why don't I turn it over to you, to Sean, and I don't know if you just want to pick a couple of these and describe the kinds of outputs. I think you might want to pick one like reference model, which wouldn't produce a standard, and another one like component provisioning, which might.
Okay, great.
Go for it.
Again, I'd like to reiterate that we're about getting things done right now, and we're focused on real-world tangible solutions and bringing these to bear as soon as possible and using stuff that's already there today and not focusing where the paint's still wet. If you
Right. Before you go on, I never thought I'd say this to someone, but your volume's up too high. If there's some way you can turn it down a little, we don't want to blast the listeners out of their speakers.
Okay, I'll hold my face away from the phone here.
Yeah, that'd be better. Good.
Okay, the Enterprise Grid Reference Model Working Group, we're working on establishing and defining a terminology and glossary of grid computing and develop of enterprise grid computing and develop a reference model that identifies various components, interfaces, interactions, and data models. And we really intend that such a reference model will enable interoperability among heterogeneous grid applications or products and really improve the integration of grid applications or services, improving opportunities for grid computing to be adopted in the enterprise by really creating like definitions and a reference, just a common vocabulary. Because today when people sit down, they talk about grid, they talk about adaptive, they talk about utility, they talk about all these things, and a lot of, like, for example, when we sat down at the technical steering committee, you know, we had all this broad companies from different representatives, and we unanimously agreed we were all talking about the same thing, but we had different words for things.
How much of a problem is that if you didn't do anything, would that be a serious stumbling block for the future development of grid?
I think from an enterprise perspective,
right.
Yes, I think it really is, because a lot of us are talking about the same things, the same functionality, the same methodology, and the same end game, but if you don't have a common vocabulary and way to reference these things, it's really like, you're completely missing the mark when you're trying to communicate.
So it's finding a common language.
Right, exactly.
If you could, fairly low-hanging fruit, really. Right. If you could drill down into that just a little more, you've been at meetings, I suppose, then where somebody says, this is what I think this should be called, and someone else says what it should be called, and the third person. How does the process usually go, or typically go, to reach a consensus on what something needs to be called?
Well, right now we're still in the preliminary phases, and we're going to have our first working group meeting, so we haven't had the drill down conversations. Right now it's a conceptual thing by saying, hey, this is clearly something that we need to address. You know, if the different vendors and different participants, it's pretty clear that we all have our own marketing names for what have you for some of this functionality.
Right.
And you have to remove that marketing name from what the objective is, because if one company has some name for it and another company has another, then they don't want to call it the other company's marketing name.
Right, so essentially what you need is a generic name for things that people already have brand names for or trade names for.
It's really just creating a common language and in removing, you know, maybe trademark stuff.
Right. Okay, will people resist that in some sense? Will some people want to say, you know, I want it to be called whatever we're calling it, because then when people, like Kleenex, people will want to buy one of ours, and other people say, well, we've got the same thing, and we call it this, and then they really do want to battle over whose brand name is going to survive.
Well, but...
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, but, you know, Kleenex was a problem because they lost them.
Oh, yeah, well, they went over the top because they...
No, I mean, the truth is, because it's in everyone's common interest for us to define terminology that we can deal with.
Right.
That I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Okay.
Time will tell.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
It's like the baseball bat manufacturers want to say, this is called the handle, and this is the shaft, and this is the tip.
Right. Well, and if what you want to do is define a standard interface for grabbing the bat,
right,
and different people call that action by different terms, what you do is come up with something you agree on, and that's what the interface will
be. And that generally isn't much of a problem.
Well, we hope not.
Okay, go on, Sean.
Yeah, we really, it focused on some low-hanging fruit there. We wanted to, something that we could easily get done in a short order and really make an impact with.
Right.
And there's contributions already. People are starting to come together, and the group hasn't been formed yet.
Right.
As far as the working group. So,
speaking of coming together, is this going to happen in real space or in virtual space, or are most of the meetings going to be online and conferences, or people all come to Redwood City, or how's that going to work?
We will proceed just like any other standards body would proceed. You know, there's a website. We'll have a members area. In the members area, there will be lists of what's has happened. There'll be, you know, document archiving. You know, it's just pretty much standard operation, very much the same way, you know, DMTF or GGF or anybody else would operate, where they're trying to actually go out and work as a community in an open environment.
Right.
Let me just add here that Sean's at a disadvantage to answer your question, because these working groups have just been chartered,
right?
And they have not even had their first meeting.
Do they have a time? When are they expected to?
The first meeting is within a few weeks, isn't it, Sean?
That is correct.
Okay. The rules, the process of EGA is put in place is a level playing field process. There's no participants in EGA that have more rights than other participants. It's a pay to play organization that, based upon how much you pay, you determines what you get to determine. So at the highest level, you vote for the board, you vote for establishing the projects, you vote for approving the ultimate results. At lower levels, you can participate in the working groups and vote in the working groups, and at still lower levels, you can participate in the working group, but you don't even get to vote in the working groups.
Okay.
But having said that, unlike many of the so-called consortia that are out there today, there is no member for life. There's no one on the board who couldn't be voted off of the board tomorrow,
right,
or, you know, next election. That there's no veto by one or two powerful companies. This is a level playing field forum. And consistent with that, the way the working groups will function is we have approved charters, and we have approved initial conveners of those working groups, individuals who will bring the working group together for its first meeting. However, from that point on, the way the working group functions within the constraints of a process that sort of guarantees progression and guarantees due process but imposes very little overhead, the way they function is largely up to the working groups, including electing their own leaders. So
right.
The people who convene the working groups may not end up being the ones who are going to be leading them going forward. And back to your specific question, will they be face-to-face? Will they be telecons? Will they be web conferences? And the answer is probably all of the above, depending upon the working group. If I had to guess, I would guess most of them will meet largely electronically with occasional face-to-face meetings.
Okay.
But that would be like my advice to them based upon experience in a lot of different forums. But I could imagine a working group deciding they're never going to meet face-to-face or that they always have to meet face-to-face up to the working group.
Okay. Before we get back to Sean, say anything you want to about the projected timetable here. You say they're going to start meeting in a few weeks. Have they been given in their charters instructions about when they need to report, or is that going to be up to them too?
Well, the charters actually call for near-term deliverables, and we're looking for deliverables in the first calendar year.
By the end of 2004?
Yeah. Well, okay. The calendar year after they get started. That's true. Not calendar year, the first
a year,
later.
Year
of existence, yeah.
A year later, okay. Do you think that's fast enough? Although I can't think of a better way to keep in touch.
We're looking for results earlier than a year, but I didn't want to overcommit people who haven't even gotten together yet.
Okay. Okay. Sean, what more do you want to say about the specific workings of some of the groups?
Okay, I can speak a little more about the component provisioning working group.
Sure.
So the component provisioning group is really defined with creating use cases, reference implementations, technical specifications, as it relates to the foundational provisioning operations for enterprise grid components. So today there's a lack of standard provisioning interfaces for common between provisioning tools and enterprise grid component or enterprise components. So being able to create define how these components can work together will enable grid computing. So this group will determine a basic reference technology stack and that it can be used to support the first implementations of provisioning interfaces.
Okay. Could either of you say something about what tasks? I mean, you've mentioned ERP and other functions that you're expecting that Grid will be dealing with, but could you either be broader or more specific in terms of the kinds of tasks that Grid Computing is really going to be able to deliver the most effective support for?
Well, if you focus inside an enterprise data center,
right.
It's really got to start at the most, bare metal provisioning, for example, and then once you get bare metal provisioning up to the OS, up to the applications, up to the network, and you can manage that, then it goes out to how do you create or how do you enable intelligent provisioning or management middleware applications to be able to do the right thing to meet the expanding and contracting needs of the business, right? So it's really focusing within the data center and enabling that.
Do you see grid computing as a more of a cost-saving or performance-enhancing technology, or is that taste great, less filling kind of dichotomy?
Yeah, can I say yes?
Yes, you can. Of course you can.
I mean, actually, I think it's a little bit of both. Clearly,
right.
if you have a computing facility that is dynamically allocatable to changing demands, you're probably going to be more efficient in your acquisition of those resources because you aren't going to have to acquire islands of resources for specific peak demands. And so it's going to have some efficiency point of view, but it's also going to have some some performance benefits, and so I think it is a yes.
Okay. Be careful here that you don't alienate anybody, but which companies or which type of companies are you expecting to be most involved in providing the grid solutions in the enterprise? And if you want to mention them all, talk about what niche they're going to fill. In other words, if I'm an IT person at a big company and I want to outsource the whole deal to other, I want to provide the services for our company, who am I going to go to for which parts? And is that pretty much available right now, or is that part of what you're going to be doing through your work?
I think the question, sort of implicit in the question, is that today you might be inclined as that IT CIO to go find a single source because it is a complex thing and there's a great deal of proprietary aspects to the things that you would buy, so it's hard to mix and match. And I do think that the back to the interoperability issue, that what we're looking for to really make enterprise grid computing take off is a comfort on the part of the CIO and the IT professional that's thinking of deploying grid within his data center, that he or she can go acquire components from those suppliers that best meet their specific requirements and have a reasonable expectation that they're going to work together.
So the idea is, because there are companies that I know of, at least two, United Devices and Platform, who are essentially grid computing companies. How do they? And it didn't sound like they're members of your organization.
Well, and we'd love to have them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In other words, this when I said it's a level playing field, this is an open forum. We would like to have everybody who has an interest in grid computing. And I do not happen to know those two companies, so I can't speak about why they aren't here yet.
Right.
But would be happy to have them come to the table.
So you're envisioning essentially one of your functions, apart from your work with the vendors, is to educate CIOs and IT directors to understand enough about grid that they can essentially feel confident to go out to your various members separately and integrate it themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or if they want to go through a third party, that's fine, but we want to make it so that's a reasonable expectation. And let me just say that you asked what kind of companies would be interested. I think anybody who is selling into providing components for the grid space should be interested in our objective, which is to more rapidly grow this space. I also think that people who are potential customers of enterprise grid technology would also be well served by coming to the table, because through them we could understand better what the requirements are and make sure that we remove any impediments that they see.
Right.
Okay. One of our areas, for instance, of the five that we were starting with is grid security.
Right.
I'm not even personally sure whether security is a real or just a perceived issue for deploying grid computing within the enterprise, but what we are hearing from users is that they think that because you're behind the firewall, there are aspects of security that are beyond those which would be necessary for the widely distributed scientific computing kind of grid computing, and therefore they're concerned that security may limit their ability to deploy grid computing within their data center. So we're going to go off and look at that, and we're going to have a working group go off and look at that and decide if there are real issues. We'll decide what we have to do to address them. If there aren't real issues, it may be merely an education kind of thing to say this isn't an issue for this reason, but basically address the security question, because it's the kind of thing that we're hearing from users is viewed as an inhibitor today to embracing grid within the data center.
So that's one of those impediments you mentioned that you're trying to identify and remove.
So the sales pitch here is we also want users to come to the table. Okay? And we are actively out pursuing large users, because they're the ones that are more likely to have the resources, but we want users of any size to come to the table and give us the benefit of their perspective from a consuming perspective as to what the requirements for grid computing are in their organizations.
Do you have within your charter, or have you chartered any user groups, or what kind of activities are you doing to encourage that kind of participation?
We have not as yet identified specific user-oriented activities, but I think that will be something that we'll be addressing in the very near term.
Okay. Why now instead of earlier or later to set up EGA? What's particularly appropriate about the present time? Besides the fact that there's no time like the present, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to say why now, but I think what we have is sort of a coalescing of different things and different aspects of the market, and maybe it's just sort of we sort of reached critical mass where there was a perception across a pretty wide range of a large number of companies that, hey, this is a market that could be important to us, this is a market that could really benefit our customers, and maybe we have a common interest to get together and see if we can't grow this market. And so I really think it's really just a critical mass kind of thing.
Okay, now if everything goes great and you identify all the problems and figure out ways to deal with all of them, how significant, and be quantitative if you can, do you think that the improvement to performance and cost saving, performance/cost saving, could be through an optimized grid, in an optimized grid environment? What kind of benefits are possible here, do you think?
If you do it all right, you'll save 50%.
Yeah, something like that.
If you do it all right, you'll run 50% faster.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't have that kind of data at my fingertips.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if our member companies wouldn't be able to tell you, if you use my component, it does this, and if you somebody else has a different component, a different aspect of it, it does this. And I guess what happens if you put it all together, I really don't know.
Right.
And I don't have that data. I thought you were going to ask me about what is the size of the market.
Oh, well, that was the next question.
Okay, well,
what's the
I'm a great straight man.
What is the size of the market?
Well, and that also
now, and how big do you expect it to?
Yeah, I also don't know. I have seen one reference, okay, and have actually read one report from IDC that estimates that the grid computing market is going to be $12 billion by 2007.
All right.
But now, whether or not that, what portion of that is enterprise grid computing, I think that's sort of hard to say. But I believe, IDC says $12 billion.
By 2007?
Yeah, by 2007.
Okay. There's been a lot of government money involved in scientific grid computing. One could even say, it's paying for most of it. What will be the relationship, if any, do you think, between enterprise grid computing and government subsidies?
Well, I think the simple answer would be none.
Okay.
But it's probably more, like everything in life, it's probably a little bit more complicated than that.
Right.
I remember I said, if GGF or somebody else, who's been funded substantially or in part by government, has got some kind of solution that fits into the data center, we're going to want to embrace it. So it well may be that we would benefit, and I would hope. It makes me feel good when I benefit from my government's largesse, okay?
Okay. But, are there things that they could do? A grid tax credit or something? Or?
I do standard strategy, but I don't do tax strategy.
Okay. Are some areas of the world, from what you know, moving faster towards a grid future than others? And if so, which are moving faster?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I personally don't have an answer. Usually we like to think of ourselves in the United States as, of course we're leading everything in IT.
Right.
And yet I'd say one thing that's become clear to me as we formed EGA is that we may not be leading in grid technology, especially grid technology in the enterprise. We have just two members so far that are not primarily domiciled in the United States, and that's Fujitsu Siemens in Europe and NEC in Asia.
Right.
And in both cases, both through them and then through their perspective on the markets. It appears to me that we have some pretty rapidly growing markets in both Europe and Japan that rival the kind of growth we're seeing here in the United States. So it's not clear to me at all that there's any region that is clearly out in front.
Okay, now is EGA consciously trying to make sure that whatever standards they are developed are global standards?
If you mean that we have one standard that will be applied across the world,
Or interoperability, as you were saying.
Yes.
So that now, would that be useful in hooking up systems in Europe, Asia, and North America?
I would think they might.
Okay.
So that would be a. But recall that we're dealing with computing within the enterprise,
right,
behind the firewall.
Right.
Initially, our projects will focus on within a single enterprise.
Right.
And then having sort of nailed that problem, we expect to then expand our scope to do between enterprise computing,
right, so
across enterprise,
right,
boundaries,
right.
And what you're conjecturing is, could those boundaries between the enterprises be oceans?
Exactly,
yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and because, and then if you've solved that problem, then you can essentially put together modules from Europe, Asia, and North,
yes,
America.
But we're dealing within an enterprise,
right,
or between a small number of enterprises.
Okay.
So we're not dealing with the ubiquitous computing from you know,
right,
widely distributed.
Although, of course, the first integrated circuits had like about 8 circuits on them. So,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Now they have more. So.
Yeah, that's true.
We're almost finished here. What overall do you see as the EGA role? Is there such a thing as a grid-centric business world? Do you see grids becoming the linchpin of a lot of IT operations and therefore even more prominent than they are now? Or is it going to be playing a peripheral or a less central role?
I mean, I think grid computing, enterprise grid computing, is a paradigm that sort of promises to dramatically, you know, impact the way you deploy hardware and software resources within an enterprise.
Right.
I think the ultimate evolution of grid computing might actually end up being the computing utility kind of vision.
Say, what is that? The computing utility vision.
Where, you know, where you have a grid that provides computing on demand, and it's able to adapt to the demands that are placed on it.
Now, is that within the enterprise or between and among enterprises?
Well, probably eventually between and among, but initially,
right,
within.
Okay. If you don't know anything about this, you don't have to say anything about it. What's up with the global adventures management of your site? Who are they, and why did you hire them to run your site?
Well, I clearly know about it.
Okay.
And I'm probably not the best one to speak about it.
Well, just mention it. It seems like an
interesting
idea.
You might want to just talk to Global Adventures, but
yeah,
it goes back to the stated objective. What we wanted to do was hit the ground running and quickly put in place an organization that could address the objectives of rapidly growing the grid computing market. And what we decided to do, the founding members decided that the best thing to do was to, rather than rolling our own, to find an organization whose job it was and had experience in a supporting consortium.
So the builder-buy decision was to buy it.
There are several organizations that do this kind of work. I work with them in a number of other forums, and Global Adventures was one that we found that seemed to meet our needs. They work with us in setting up the 501c not-for-profit structure in the state of California. They work with us in putting together all the legal documents and the bylaws and the tax statements and everything, and got us all up and running. And then after review, we contracted with them to support us in our first year of operation as a consortium.
Okay.
And so what Global Adventures is a company whose venture is helping companies like the EGA members get together and address their common interests.
And, of course, the fact that there are companies that can support themselves that way points to the fact that there are more and more consortia that are being set up to do interoperability and standards
right.
for a variety of areas. So.
Yeah.
Last question, two parts. What's make your best case for the use of grid computing in the enterprise. Tell IT people and CEOs why they ought to be using grid, and then follow that up with what EGA is going to do to make that more likely to happen.
Alan, you want me to take this one?
Well, why don't you give it a shot?
but don't speak too loud. Say everything you want, but no.
Basically, enterprise grid computing, along with virtualization and utility technologies, is designed to provide more value and flexibility by automating the provisioning of computing, network, and storage resources. Based on application demand, business need, like lowering the business, the management cost through consolidation, and then protecting information based upon business service levels or service objectives, so service level objectives, and scaling up or scaling down and providing those resources on demand in a fluid format or a fluid way that really focus on the needs of the business at that point in time and is flexible enough to not have to, you know, rebuild and start from scratch or work within silos.
All right. And EGA's contribution to the pushing that forward?
I believe that the working groups that we have in place would help facilitate some of that.
Okay. For either of you, to finally, is it likely that the sort of entrenched interests within corporations will make it less likely or possibly more likely for grid to take root there? Or will people feel that they're being shoved aside or enhanced by the advent of grid in an enterprise?
It's sort of hard to say. I guess it depends on what you're looking at. You know, we've seen in the last decades, you know, the data center centric computing, and then sort of dispersal of computing into the departmental level, and then onto the desktop, and then sort of a pulling back. And so, if that's the kind of tug of war you're talking about,
yes.
It's sort of hard to say. I mean, clearly a very scalable and highly dynamically allocable a computing resource is going to have, I think, a tendency to pull computing back into a centralized organization that can provide that kind of capability. And as such, there may be those that are going to be reluctant to give up their little fiefdoms. But I think the benefits of without having to worry about your own computing resource and be your own tech support and whatever is something that's probably going to overwhelm any of that kind of thing. But I think that's pretty far out.
Right.
A lot of it's conjecture.
It could end up as super time sharing.
Yeah. You're that old, huh?
Yeah, I am. I know punch cards. Okay, well, thank you both very much. Don Deutsch, President of Enterprise Grid Alliance and Vice President, Standards, Strategy, and Architecture at Oracle Corporation, and Sean Douglas, Chair of the Technical Steering Committee at the Enterprise Grid Alliance and also Director of Partner Engineering at EMC. Hopefully we'll check back with you sometime before 2007 to see how this is going and see whether it's up to $12 billion. And,
that would be good. We'll do lunch.
Okay, good. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you so much.